Welcome to the podcast of St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ.
Welcome to St. Andrew's Podcast from St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church. I'm Stephanie Greenwald, the associate pastor here, and I'm in studio today with our senior pastor, D.A. Bennett. How are you, D.A.?
Stephanie, I am doing great today. Thank you for asking. How are you doing
good
today?
I'm doing really great. This has been a fun series, and I'm excited to tackle this next episode today. But let me just recap for you guys, if you have been with us, or maybe you haven't had a chance to listen yet to our two previous episodes. We've been talking about the importance of understanding Lent. It is part of our liturgical calendar, and it's not a part of the calendar that is extremely well known or well understood. And so that's been our objective with these episodes, is to help us as followers of Christ to understand why we practice this observance of Lent. And the first episode, we talked about what is Lent, how did it start, what are its historical roots in the church, and we talked about how it started really with the idea of maybe a 2 to 3 day fast, and then it grew as the Council of Nicaea met to something that was quite a bit bigger. It was a 40-day observance of the 40 days before Easter, not including Sundays. And a lot of times during Lent, we will practice the discipline of fasting, denying ourselves of food, and in order to help our relationship with Christ grow, because when we feel hungry, then where our natural response would be to go get food, now our natural response needs to be to turn to God and to speak with Him and to listen. So it was fun to talk about how that came about, but then in our last episode, we talked about why we observe Lent and how it really is this idea of an intentional observance of our relationship with Christ, but also helping us to grow in relationship with Him. We talked about how the idea of self-indulgence is really countercultural for us in America, but Jesus calls us to self-denial. D.A. reminded us of the verse from Luke chapter 9 that says, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me daily." And I thought that was a really good reminder to us of why we practice the observance of Lent. But then we also talked about it gives us an intentional focus on our relationship with Christ. Sometimes we give up things, sometimes we take on things, but either way, it's to draw our attention to Christ and help us to grow in relationship with Him. So, D.A., that's kind of our recap. You want to talk to us today about what we're going to be discovering in our episode today?
I think a good starting place for us today is really to go back to a question that kind of came from the first podcast we did in this series about, you know, the roots of this seem to start in the Roman Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And so why do we as United Methodists do it if it's a Catholic thing?
Right.
I want to talk about that. And also to we promised last week that we would share some of our personal experiences with this and why we have found this helpful. So if I can, let me just start off by saying if this started in the Catholic Church, why do Methodists observe a Lent?
Right.
And for me, one of the sad realities of Christianity in America is sometimes in our different traditions and different ways of living out and understanding the Christian faith, we do separate into the, oh, well, that's a Catholic thing, or, oh, that's a Methodist thing, or, oh, that's a Baptist thing. Mm-hmm. There's actually a guy that I graduated from high school with who's pastor of a large Baptist church, and I was looking at his blog one day, and he actually wrote, Lent is coming up, and most Southern Baptist churches do not observe Lent. And he said, and I know some of y'all are thinking, why are we doing this Catholic thing? And the answer to why they would do it, why we would do it, why other churches do it, is because historically we do all come from that movement that started in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2. And it kind of spread out, and eventually it headquartered in Rome under the Roman Empire and became the Roman Catholic Church. But it, again, it was a practice that's been handed down to us. That while modern Catholicism may not be a part of our tradition, the roots of our tradition come out of the Catholic Church, but even predate that too. And so that's one of the reasons that we observe that. So
it's so helpful.
The other question then, how do you choose? If I want to observe Lent, if I am going to give something up, if I am going to take something on, how do I decide what that's going to be? So should I share my...
You should.
Okay.
You should share your experience. When was the first time that you gave something up?
All right. I, even though I grew up in the United Methodist Church, I did not grow up in a congregation that really emphasized Lent a lot. And all I ever equated with it was you give something up. And so when I was in college and I'm in that place where I know I'm going to be a pastor, I'm trying to get more serious about my faith, I'm trying to understand things I haven't done. And so my... junior year of college, one of the things I noticed was every time I got thirsty, I would drink a Coke.
Oh,
I mean, we're talking Coke,
it's
not,
the real
not
thing.
New Coke. It was I mean, I Coca-Cola. I loved the flavor, and it satisfied my thirst, and it was accessible and affordable, so I was always drinking a Coke. And I looked at it one day, and I just said, well, you know, I drink a Coke at lunch, and I drink a Coke in the afternoon. And when I counted, literally, I was drinking a six-pack of Coke every day. And I thought, this is not healthy. And so I decided at first to give up Cokes for Lent. Put that S in there so this doesn't get taken out of context and people think, hey, you gave up cocaine for Lent.
No.
Coca-Cola is what we're talking about.
And
as I had given up for a couple of days, I really kind of broadened that because the easy thing to do, the temptation would be, well, I gave up Coke, but I can drink Pepsi. And so the intention was to give up soft drinks. And so that's what I did. I gave up soft drinks for the first Lent. And the thing that led me to that decision was that this is something in my life that doesn't need to be there. This is a habit, and I need to deny myself that. And the interesting thing was I decided on Easter Sunday I wasn't going to drink a Coke. I was going to wait till the Monday after Easter. And by that time, I really didn't even want a Coke. But because I hadn't had one, I was going to drink one. And it didn't even taste good to me.
Isn't that amazing?
It was, you know, it's like lesson learned. This is what I need. So I don't drink Coke anymore. Of course, occasionally I do find a Diet Coke to be very tasteful.
Though.
So how about your first time to observe Lent?
You know, mine, the one I really remember that sticks out in my mind is a very special one, probably when I was in third or fourth grade. Many of you listening will know that my dad is a pastor in the Methodist Church. He's retired now, but... he pastored for 43 years, and when we were in Leawood, Kansas, at Leawood United Methodist Church, I remember my one of the first Ash Wednesday services that I really participated in, and traditionally, the idea is that you'll take the palms from last year's Palm Sunday, you'll burn the palms, that will create the ashes, you mix them with oil, and that's what you use to impose ashes on the foreheads of the people that come to the service. But this year, Dad did not do that. He decided that he was going to do something a little bit more personal. And so during the service, he had everyone there write down what they were giving up for Lent. And I know, isn't that interesting?
The art of risking awkwardness.
Yes, this is so true. And I remember thinking at the time, I thought, I want to give up something that I don't want in my life anymore. What is it that keeps me from Christ? And, you know, as a third grader or fourth grader, it's not like I'd done a lot in my life at that point that had really kept me from him. But man, I loved him so much. And the one thing that I felt like was really keeping me from him is the anxiety that I experienced. I had pretty severe anxiety as a child and even in my teen years and a little bit after that. And so at that point, it was really kind of debilitating to me. And I did not want it to be in my life anymore because I did feel like it was a distraction from Christ. And so I remember writing that on the little piece of paper, took it forward and placed it in the bowl that Dad had on a pedestal. And as I went back to my seat and everyone had placed their cards in the bowl, I remember watching him light the match and he dropped it in the bowl and everything just went up in flames. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, that's a powerful visual. And then to be marked with the cross on my forehead as a reminder that I can't do this by myself, but that God does have the power to take those things out of our lives that keep us from him. Now, he did that over time with me. I was not automatically healed that night from my anxiety. It was a process. But he was with me every step of the way, and I will never forget that night. And, you know, it was a powerful part in my discipleship pathway. But, you know, when you're asking the question, how do you decide what you're giving up? Because, I mean, these two stories are pretty different.
I was going to say, thank you for sharing something so vulnerable and personal. I mean, everybody would say, yeah, you should have never drunk a six-pack of Coke. But to have something emotionally, physically that we deal with that, thanks for sharing
that. Well, sure. Thank you for saying that. I think it's really important for us when we're trying to figure out what to give up that we give up something that does keep us from him. And the thing I love about you giving up Coke is that it was something in your life that was a constant. So it's not like you drank Coke once a week, you know?
Exactly.
So when you were craving Coke throughout Lent, I'm sure it was a daily thing and several times a day. And that drew you back to Christ because every time you craved that, the idea is then you turn to him. And with my anxiety, the idea was that every time it started to work its way in, I needed to turn to him. And so
yeah, that's wonderful.
It's just a good practice when you're thinking about what do I want to give up, you know?
Right. So sometimes what we choose to give up can be based on what's going on in our lives, what have we observed. Sometimes when I've given something up, I just choose something that I like.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the struggle of the year that I decided for Lent, I was going to give up chips and salsa.
Oh,
I mean, I joke with people now that sometimes I'm salsa deficient and I need to go eat some Mexican food. There was one year where the whole idea of fasting was something I was really thinking of. And so I made the decision that I would fast one day a week. And part of what I remember about that was I went to a pastor's meeting, and of course, pastors eat.
Right.
And, and yes, we all went to lunch together, and I just got a glass of water. And most people didn't think anything about it. But finally, the guy that I was sitting next to was an older gentleman, and he turned to me and he said, "You're fasting today, aren't you?" I said, "Well, yeah." Because I wasn't trying to draw attention to it.
Right.
But at that point, it couldn't be veiled anymore. So, personal habit, it could be something that I kind of cling to that really doesn't need to be a part of my life. Have you ever had an experience where you just thought, gosh, what do I want to give up? And you're not just thinking about that. You're giving it prayerful consideration. And God said, here's what I want you to do for this Lenten season.
That's a good question. I wish I had a powerful story about that, but no, I really don't. I love the idea of seeking him about it because that's what we should do. What about you?
Well, I mean, nothing immediately actually comes to mind. I just think, you know, what answers do we want to give to how do we decide?
Yeah.
Sometimes God does play a major role in that.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously with your story of your anxiety, God had something going on in there. You may not have actually prayed about it. Your desire was there.
Right.
But I think today when we look at it and people are saying, gosh, what should I give up? And and let me repeat what I said last week.
Yeah.
By this time, we're well into Lent. We're a couple of weeks into it. Maybe you didn't start. It's okay to go ahead and start. And one of the things that I think that you might want to start with is you know, God, is there something that I should do?
Yeah.
And again, at that point, it's not necessarily what should I give up.
Uh-huh.
It could be God saying, you know what? You work too much, and you're not home as much mm-hmm. as you should be.
Mm-hmm.
So here's how you can connect better with me.
Yeah.
Is that you will take at least 5 minutes of your life every day
mm-hmm.
and spend that with your kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
that's good.
You know, there are plenty of times I think I don't see my kids enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, honestly, it's mostly because of what they're doing. not because
right, exactly.
You're playing baseball and doing gymnastics, and so they're practicing and have games. But I mm-hmm. think that could be a good thing to do, because it's the idea of self-examination
right.
and self-discipline
yeah.
and how am I growing closer
yeah.
to Christ in the midst of this. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, to answer and say, well, maybe there's a habit, something that's not healthy, or
yeah.
maybe there's something going on in our lives and we want to try to overcome that.
Yeah.
I would just hope that our listeners understand. Sometimes if you pray about it, God's going to reveal,
yes.
this is what I would like
yeah.
for you to do. This is what I would like for you to mm-hmm. experience to grow closer to me.
Yeah, I think that's so good. Don't you think, too, that there's a part of us as people that we don't often like to evaluate ourselves? We don't mind evaluating other people and what they're doing, what they should be doing differently. But there's a difficulty in, you know, getting real with ourselves. What do you think about that?
To hear you say that, it goes back to something that we talked about with the discipleship pathway
mm-hmm.
that, unfortunately, again, the whole idea of Lent is countercultural to American
right.
culture. And part of what we didn't talk about, but part of what we know is part of American culture is consumerism.
Yes,
and,
so true.
And if I am a consumer, then mm-hmm. I'm always asking, what's God giving to me? What's the church
right.
giving to me? But the idea of producing is,
mm-hmm.
what can I
mm-hmm.
give to God? I'm giving this up. I'm giving this to God
yeah.
so that I can grow stronger in my faith, and my dependency upon God
mm-hmm.
is more than my dependency
mm-hmm.
upon these other things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that can be
mm-hmm.
a big part of
I think
how
so
we
too.
Do it.
I think so, too. I also think as we're considering what to give up, that it might be good for people to think back to this idea of Christ calling us to self-denial. When you were talking about the verse from Luke that says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And it reminds me of the time when Jesus washed the disciples' feet,
right.
you know, at the Last Supper. And this idea that specific task was saved for the servants.
Yeah.
You know, no, who wants to touch anybody else's feet? I wouldn't want to do that, you know, especially
I've done
when
a foot washing.
Dirty.
I thought, I don't want to wash their feet.
No, I know. It's so true. When you think about how dirty their feet would have been and
yeah.
dusty and caked with
dung.
Mud and
yeah.
yes, all kinds of stuff. But Jesus, you know, humbled himself, and he was such a servant leader. And so as we're thinking about what we could give up or even what we could take on, because I loved how you talked about that last week, that maybe it's a good idea to be thinking about how we serve others during Lent. And it could be anyone. It could be that we step outside of our comfort zone and we begin to serve the homeless in our community. That's awesome. But it also could be like what you were saying with your kids. You know, are you really serving your kids? Are you
right.
serving your spouse? Are you serving your parents? What are you doing to intentionally be a servant leader? And that might be a good way to just evaluate how you're using your time
yeah,
in servanthood.
Is there, you know, every Sunday we have a list on our prayer list
mm-hmm.
for shut-ins. Is there a shut-in
yeah.
that you need to visit? Is,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know some people just, they get freaked out going to hospitals, but would
yeah.
God say, you know, go visit somebody in
yeah.
the hospital?
Yeah, or if you're choosing to fast over lunch, you know, maybe you take the lunch hour to practice intercessory prayer for someone. Grab the prayer list and begin to pray for people,
that,
you know?
That is so great. I have met people, I've not done this personally,
mm-hmm.
who that's what they've done. They said, I'm going to fast lunch. And sometimes it's because they, you know, just
yeah.
feel like they probably shouldn't eat as much.
Yeah.
But again, it's not just about what I'm giving away. It's what am
mm-hmm.
I filling
yeah.
my time with. And they would take a prayer list
mm-hmm.
and go to a park and walk around and just pray, or if they worked in a big building, they might walk around the building and pray, not trying to draw attention to themselves.
No.
As, hey, look at me, I'm praying.
But right.
Just to say, it's not about what I'm giving up, it's what I'm investing in. You know?
Yeah.
I'm going to give up my Coke every day.
Mm-hmm.
Can I use some of that money to help feed people who don't have food?
Exactly. I just think that's really positive. So tell me a little bit about how you would like to give us just a word of encouragement as we wrap up this time together.
The thing I want to encourage people with again is, if you didn't start with Ash Wednesday and you think, wow, this is too late for me this year, I'll get it next year.
Right.
It's really not too late. In fact, maybe that is something that God will use, because what you're doing is going to be honoring to God.
Yeah.
And when we honor God with our lives, that does help us
mm-hmm.
to know Christ more, to grow in a relationship with Christ. It's the personal discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps, gosh, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, next week we need to talk about this.
Yes.
Next week we need to talk about that. So, again, I want to encourage people to, if you have things you want us to talk about, continue to send us those. We'll get to them the next couple of weeks. I mean, I like to think about, what impact does this have on my children?
Yes.
Because my children, while it may be secret from people I work with, it's not secret from my family.
Right.
I even think, gosh, you talked about doing this alone, is there a time that it's appropriate to do this together? And it's like, yes,
right,
absolutely, do this with other people.
Right.
And, you know, that may be a good silo thing, doing it with like-minded people to be helpful. So
that's so good.
So much we can
so
talk
much we're
about.
Gonna talk
yeah.
about. That's right. We're going to continue with this series. So we're excited for you to be a part of it with us. Continue to send us in your questions, the things that you would like to hear about. We are going to get to those here in the next couple of sessions, episodes. So we'll look forward to that. You all are special to us. We hope that we will see you here at St. Andrews. We are a community that is loving, caring, and overcoming, and we are centered in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we want you to be a part of that. So visit us anytime online at saokc.org. Visit us on Sunday mornings on site. We have services at 8:15, 9:30, and 10:50, or check us out online at 8:15 and 10:50. Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that you have a very blessed day.